Hi there, it's me, Bree. I hope you're doing well. I thought it would be cool to give a shot at a different type of intro here on the podcast. Some of my favorite podcasts that I listen to start out this way. So I thought, let's give it a try. And I figured what better way to do it than today's episode, which is episode 282. And in this one, I'm joined by author Kathy Douglas. Now, this is not Miss Kathy's first time here on the podcast. Originally, she joined Sarah, yes, the great Sarah and I, in episode 48, way back in September of 2021. So just in case you're new on the podcast and you haven't had the opportunity to go back and listen to some of the older episodes, I will leave a link to it down below. In that episode, that's where we really get into a lot of the oral history, like Miss Kathy's journey into publishing and her romance reading journey, all the really cool things. So make sure you check that out. But in this episode, we talk about one of her upcoming releases, which is Starting Over with the Maverick. She has some really cool titles coming out with special edition the rest of this year and into next year with some gorgeous covers. And it was just really cool to catch up with Miss Kathy. So I hope you enjoy. As always, links to how you can keep up with Miss Kathy will be down in the show notes. I will also have the podcast email is also always there. So you can email me, you can find me on social media to connect, let me know what you think of the episodes. And if you would be so kind, I'm trying to be a better podcaster and make sure I plug these things. Please give the podcast a rating and review. It will help other category romance readers find the podcast, and the more friends, the better. So yeah, I hope you all are doing well. And with that, on with the show. I hope you enjoy.
I'm trying to make myself slow down because I was doing a whole lot of writing last year and it kind of caught up with me. So I had to even move a couple of deadlines. My editor was gracious enough to allow me to kick them back. But I've been really busy. I'm writing and trying to, you know, make myself exercise more regularly and just focus on being healthy and more balanced. But it's good so far. So far, I'm on track.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, are you a New Year's goal setter? And like, did you have any New Year's goals? Was that one of them to like be more active?
I don't do the whole New Year resolution thing. I have never done that. Well, I shouldn't say never because there was probably a time when I did and just don't really recall it. But no, I've always tried to be active and like I've always liked to ride my bike and I still do that when it's warm. And I was taking a really fun class for a while. I was doing, I'm trying to think of, all of a sudden I got like this big blank. But anyway, then the whole COVID shut everything down. Yeah. So then I was back on my treadmill in the basement. So, you know, but I've always done that. But just trying to make myself be more focused and make sure that's like the first thing I do when I get up as opposed to pushing it off to later, which never happens.
Yeah, yeah. It is, I think when you live like when you live a busy lifestyle, it is, you know you need to do it, but it's so hard. It's so hard. You have to, like, I have been trying to get back into like walking or running before work. And I think it's hard just because I like to get to work early to kind of ease into it. So that means if I'm going to exercise, I have to wake up even earlier. And the bed in the morning just...
Isn't it comfortable?
It hits a little different. But I'm like, girl, you need to walk. You have to do this. So yeah, I'm trying not to, like you said, push it off any further. Otherwise, it just doesn't get done. You first joined us back on episode 48. It was September 4th of 2021. So for anybody who hasn't had the chance to listen to that original episode, or if they are new to you, can you just reintroduce yourself? Like, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Well, my name is Kathy Douglas and I have been writing romance for a while. I got published in 2017 was my first book. And it was How to Steal the Lawman's Heart with Harlequin Special Edition. And since then, I've published, I think, 18 books with Harlequin. I have some more coming out. I used to be a labor and employment lawyer, but I quit that when my first son was born and stayed home raising him. And then I had my second son. And so I've just started writing when they were younger. First I started going back reading romance books. And then after a while, I said, well, I can do this. I think I can do this. And I wrote some really, really bad, really bad books. But I kept at it, and I found that I really enjoyed it. You know, it was a way, at first, it was just kind of like a break, you know, when you're like the mom and you're taking care of everything. And, you know, especially when they're so little and they need you to do everything for them. And so then it was like a few minutes where I could just like sit down and scribble in a notebook, you know, these make-believe people doing all of these, you know, fun things. And then my husband got me a computer, and he's like, well, here, since you want to write, have a computer. So I started doing it then. And as I say, the rest is history. Oh, I don't know who says that though, but someone says that.
Well, you, like we were chatting before we hit record, like you have two titles coming out the rest of the year, but we have like a surprise recording we'll be doing for one of them, which I'm super excited. So in June, you have Starting Over with Maverick that's coming.
Yes.
Out. Can you yes. tell us about it?
Okay, well, can I go back a little bit into the Montana Mavericks books that I have written?
Absolutely.
Just in case yes. someone out there has read them. My first Montana Maverick I wrote, it was called The Mavericks Baby Arrangement. And the heroine's name was, good Lord, what was her name? Can't remember her name. Brittany. And she had... And so I thought, well, maybe we'll like veer off into her family. And she did. She had a sister, Stephanie. I hope I'm getting the names right. But anyway,
that was real. So it's okay.
And it's so funny because I swore if I ever was writing, I was going to remember all my characters' names and the books and the orders and all that. Well, that didn't happen. After a while, it all gets jumbled. But then, but I will connect this to this book. Brittany had a sister, Stephanie. Stephanie eventually gets together with Jeff in A Kiss at the Mistletoe Rodeo. And then he was one of the Burris brothers. So then I wrote his book. I wrote his brother Jack's book. I wrote his brother Mike's book. And in this series, there's also the Hawkins sisters, who two of the sisters married two of the Burris brothers. This is their cousin, Elizabeth Hawkins. So she'd been living in Australia. I love the way Harlequin, when they come up with these ideas, they have people all over the world. So there's always a cousin or an aunt and uncle. You never run out of story. So she's actually from Australia. She's a widow with twin daughters. He's a widower with three kids. And the kids are really sweet and cute together. But it's Jake and Elizabeth. They get together. And she was a rodeo rider back when she lived in Australia. But her family is here. So she's moving. She's thinking about moving back. But she doesn't want for her daughters to forget about their father, who was Australia, and their culture there. So that's kind of her issue. Jake was married to, like, you know, his longtime girlfriend or whatever. And they had three beautiful children. And she died in childbirth, giving birth to their youngest son. And so he's just trying to hang on and raise his kids. He's not looking for anyone else. You know, his hands are full. He's not looking for love. He just wants to figure out how to deal with his children. He's got his oldest is a daughter. And she's at that kind of tween age where, you know, girls are just confusing sometimes if you've never been one. So of course he's never been a girl. So he's trying to figure out like what to do and how to raise her. And then she hits it off with Elizabeth, and she loves the twins because she's like the mom type and she's a little bit bossy. And so they just become a family together.
I wanted to talk with, because I love that you do cowboys. There's always like somebody that's like into the rodeo, and like usually like it's your heroines are really into it. And I feel like cowboy romance is all of a sudden having this moment that it's like people that have never really read it before are finally reading it. And we're like, yes, it's been good, you guys. It's been great.
Get with the program.
Get with the program, you know. What creatively, like, what do you enjoy about writing these like cowboys? You do a lot of small towns, like rodeos. What do you enjoy about like riding in that world?
Well, what I like about small town is the sense of community. You know, everybody is pulling for each other. Everybody knows they can rely on their neighbor. And yeah, there's some, you know, you can't escape your past. Everybody knows all your business stuff going on too. But I think you can make that sense of community anywhere, even though I set my books in small towns, because I like the whole idea of not being able to get away from the person. And if you live in a small town, they're everywhere you go. You have like maybe two restaurants, you know, one's a diner, one's a dress up place, you know, you got the post office. And if you go out on a Friday night, you're probably going to run into that person. So there's always that kind of, you know, the hero and heroine are going to run into each other because it's a small town. And I like that sense of inevitability as well as a sense of community. Mm-hmm. When I write the ranchers and the cowboys, I just really like the idea of all that space, you know, yeah. All the grass, all the horses, you know, at night, there's nothing but the stars and the moon. You know, I kind of like the imagery. So I think that's probably it. Why I like it is the space, just the space.
If someone hasn't read any of your books yet, like, what is one that you're like, if you're going to start anywhere, start with this one?
Okay, well, ooh, that's a toughie because I really love Redemption on Rivers Ranch, which was like my last Sweetbriar book. But a lot of the people that you meet there, you really get Carson's story like four books ahead of that, the backstory with him. Oh, I always say just read them all, but yeah. I guess probably I would start with the Sweetbriar Sweethearts. And I, of those, like Redemption on Rivers Ranch, although that's the last one, I like Winning Charlotte Back just because I love Charlotte so much. She's not your typical sweet heroine. She's kind of grumpy, mm-hmm. kind of mean. That's a hard question.
You have a lot of really good ones. And I love that you, because one thing that I always get really hooked on is your characters. So to hear you kind of be like, well, I really love this character, and you got to like read this book to understand it. So like, is it usually the yeah. character that like, do they come to you first usually, or is it the plot? I mean, with these Mavericks, it's kind of a different story, but the like your Sweetbriars and stuff like that, is it usually the characters?
It's the characters. I always like people will come. I don't really necessarily get the plot of how things are going to work out. I'll get like a heroine will someday just come to me and I'll be like, yeah. And I'll have like some background idea about them. And then like the hero who I think they will be with, but it's never like the plot. I never know like what's going to happen. Say for an example, my Aspen Creek Bachelors were the newest, my latest series that I started doing. And I knew it was going to be like three brothers. And I knew the first I had it in mind, I was like, okay, well, the heroine came first. I was like, okay, she's coming back and they have a past. Cause I seem to like to write stories when people have past. If I'm going to do a reunion story, they have a past. Well, obviously if it's a reunion story, but if I'm doing a story, I like it when the people have a past because there's already got it. And I like it for the past to be bad. You know, I don't necessarily want, oh, they've been friends forever. Yeah, that's nice. But I like it when like she's mad at him, he's mad at her, or he doesn't know why she's mad. He knows she's mad, but he couldn't figure out what the heck he did wrong. So I got that when I was like, okay, well, Jillian and Miles. Okay, got that. And then immediately as I'm writing his story, his second brother just like jumped off. And I was like, yeah, he's the charming one. He's because I didn't really know anything about him. I never know anything until I'm writing it. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's so charming and he's so witty and he's so outgoing and everybody loves him. Who am I going to put him with? And I was like, okay, I'll put him with a woman who doesn't fall at his feet and who really doesn't want to be bothered at all. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to give him a woman he's really going to have to work hard to get. And so then I came up with Savannah, and she was a widow who'd also lost her son in an accident. So she moved into this little cabin to get away from everybody. She just wanted to be alone. She didn't want to talk to anybody. She didn't want to see anybody. She would, you know, text, respond to her sister's weekly text, but that's it. She would go to town at night and do her shopping outside of town at like the Walmart on the highway at like midnight. So she didn't want to interact with anybody. And she definitely didn't want to see any children. So I was like, okay, then what else he's going to have is someone is going to leave him a baby to raise because he's the bachelor. I'm like, let's just dump it all on him. But I had to think of what he was first and then like give him everything that's the opposite and then just say, okay, here it is. I hope a story comes.
I love that because I think for a lot of us aspiring writers, like sometimes these people show up to you and you're like, okay, I see you, but like now what? So it sounds like, and I feel like you're representing for the team here. They come to you and you're now like, okay, what am I going to do? I mean, what am I going to do with you? Okay, I got to give you a backstory and it's got to be hard to do with. Can you walk us through going through giving them the hard stuff? I think that is where a lot of us struggle with because you don't want to be mean, but that's what keeps us turning the page. So how do you do, give us some of the behind the scenes. Are you listening to certain music? Are you watching anything? Are you taking a bunch of walks? How are you coming up with the hard stuff?
Okay, well, sometimes I do, like there are certain, like when I was writing, my first book, How to Steal the Lawman's Heart. That was Trent was a widow raising his two daughters. And I listened to Ringo Starr, Photograph on repeat because there's the song says all I've got. I'm trying to think. And what he's saying is all he's got left is a photograph. That's it. Because she's gone. And yeah, in the story, she's not in the song. She's not dead. She just left him. But all he's got left is this photograph. And so I listened to that to Ever because Trent is still in mourning, even though she's been gone like 7 years. He has his two daughters, but basically he doesn't have her anymore. All he has is his pictures and his memories. So I was like, okay, that's what we're going to start with him. And then it's like, okay, well, Carmen, who he's going to end up with, was a wild child. She was the bad girl. Her father like was powerful because he owned the biggest employer in town. So she was the bad girl. She was out with friends. She was not drinking. Let me make that clear. She was not drinking, but they were. She was a passenger in a car. Drunk driver hits Trent's wife. That's how she was killed. So there's the resentment and the hatred of her. So her father kicks her out of the house. She was 18. So he was like, you want to be grown, but be grown somewhere else. So he kicks her out. Now it's 7 years later and she's back. So in that sense, she didn't really have a song, but Photograph stuck with that. Then my the single mom Second Chance, they had a song and it was, I'm trying to think, it was Misty Blue. And one of the lines was, I'm trying to think how it goes. I can hear it in my head, but since I can't sing, I'm trying to get the words. And it was like, I tell myself I'm glad we're through, but deep in my heart, I know I lied. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so in this case, it was like they both are pretending like it doesn't matter that they broke up and I'm glad we're through and all that, but I know I'm lying to myself.
Yes.
And they also, they had a whole soundtrack because they also had Where Did We Go Wrong by LTD. And they tried to figure out what the heck went wrong. How did we end up where we ended up breaking up and you ended up marrying somebody else? It's like, where did we go wrong? And then Another Day by, trying to think now, good Lord, what is...
It's Kathy, you be over there making some playlists.
I do. I'm trying to, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm scared to click on and get this so I can tell you my songs. Wait, I don't have to do it on my computer. But it was like, now it's going to bother me. So now I have to look it up to tell you. But it's like, I do have, not on all of them, but on a lot of my songs, a lot of my books, I do have playlists. And I do listen to it for the first draft. Well, on the first draft, I generally listen to smooth jazz. I have like a whole playlist because it's, first, I like it, but there's not always songs with, there's not always a lot of songs with words. Okay, here it is. Where Did We Go Wrong by Misty Blue by LTD. Misty Blue by Dorothy Moore. Buckshot LaFunk, Another Day. So that was the one I was thinking of. And then this is the same one for the Single Mom Second Chance. I had DeBarge, A Dream. Boy Meets Girl, Waiting for a Star to Fall. Macy Gray, I Try. And Phyllis Hyman, Somewhere in My Lifetime. So those are the songs I listened to on like the second and third draft. And each person like will have a song. So like when I'm writing a scene from their point of view, I may like play that just so I can like keep the mood up. But what I always aim to, except like in a couple of books that didn't have it, which were more inclined to be funny, I always feel like if I cry when I'm writing it, then I'm like, okay, I got it.
I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I want people to feel the emotion deeply. And even if it's like on my third or fourth draft, I should at least feel something there. But yeah, I do listen to music.
What keeps the whole process of it fun for you?
Well, all the time it's not fun.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just like, okay, this is your job. You said you signed that contract and you said you were going to turn a book in. People are depending on you to have this book into them on time because it's in their schedule. And they promise the readers that they're going to have 6 books out a month. So you better keep your end up.
You gotta show up.
Right. And, you know, because it's not always fun. I mean, there are days when I'm reading it and I'm like smiling because I caught what I think in my mind and I managed to get it on the page. So then it's like, yeah, that was good. But other days it's like, oh, good Lord, how many words do I have to write today? And I know I'm going to be sitting in this chair from like 7 in the morning, 8 in the morning until 9 at night. Because some days it's like pulling teeth when the words don't come. Mm-hmm. But it's fun when it's easy.
Yeah. And so it is a business, right? And like,
yes,
one of the things that I think is inspiring for anybody that's listening, that's trying to, like, I'm always looking on for write, like the Write for Harlequin Facebook. And I see all these amazing men and women who are like writing and hoping to submit. But like, sometimes you all still, even you being Kathy Douglas with all these wonderful books, you guys still hear no sometimes. Can you talk to that, like rejection?
It's part of life. I mean, and it's not necessarily exclusive to publishing. If you really live in this world, you're going to hear no about something. It just is. And it's like, it's not personal. It's business. And it doesn't mean that you are not a good writer. It doesn't mean your idea wasn't good. It just means, it could mean anything, really. This isn't what we're looking for at this time. It could mean we already have 3 of those. For instance, before I did my Aspen Creek Bachelor's, I had submitted a proposal where I thought, oh, it'd be so nice to have books set at a vineyard. And so I sent the proposal and my editor was like, nope, sorry, we have vineyard books coming out. It wasn't anything personal to me. It didn't mean that they didn't like me no more or they didn't think I could write. It was like, no, sorry. Someone else is doing something like that or similar to that or whatever. Come up with something else.
Come up with something else. Yeah.
And you know, and it was like, okay, how about Colorado? How do you feel about a resort in Colorado? It's like, cool. I can get with that.
Yeah.
Give me that instead. But it's, you just got to learn that it's just business.
Yeah. Writing, like being part of like the Montana Mavericks, like, and you, like I said, you have 2 coming out in that,
yeah,
that series this year. How is that for you? And for like anybody that hasn't read one, why do you think that they should give them a try?
Well, Montana Mavericks are, I think it's coming up on 30 years that Harlequin has been publishing books in the Montana Mavericks series. And what that is it's more, it's generated by the publisher, because generally when I write a book, I come up with the characters, the setting, the plot, everything. Well, with the Montana Mavericks, what they do is Harlequin says, hey, we have this series, we have characters, we have a short synopsis, maybe like 6 or 7 pages of what we want your book to be about. And because it's going to be a part of this whole world of 6 books, do you want to join? And I'm like, sure, I love it. And so what that is like, and it's also five other authors are participating. So there's a lot of talking with other authors to make sure that what you do to your characters, or if you create a business in town, you let everybody know so that their characters can go to that business, or so that there aren't like six pizza parlors in this town of, you know, 4,000 people. So it's a lot of interaction. I like it because it was a different challenge for me, because it's easy to write the books that the people come from you and you create the characters, you create the town. So I thought, what is it like when someone else comes up with the characters and they're not really organic to you? Someone else is saying, hey, here's your hero. Here's his issue. Here's your heroine. Here's her issue. Here's what's going to go on. Here's the town they live in. Here are the people that they're going to meet in like chapter 9 or whatever. Okay, write the book. And you're like, oh, okay. So it was a different experience the first time I did it. And I've done it several times. And I like being part of the Montana Mavericks. And right now, the Montana Mavericks that I've participated in used to be a part of Harlequin Special Edition. And now, even though the authors who are writing them are special edition authors, they've spun them off. So Montana Mavericks are like their own special series. So if you're looking for them, you won't find them on the Harlequin website. Under special edition, you'll find them under Montana Mavericks. So
yeah, I think it's really cool how they've become kind of their own, like they're still part of the team, but they're like a little bit separate. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I do. I like it. I like it. And I hope readers like it too.
Well, are you working on anything right now?
I am. I am working on the fourth book in my Aspen Creek Bachelor series. I did Valentine's for the Rancher came out last February. Then The Rancher's Baby, I was basically talking about Isaac, who was a playboy, and Savannah, who was the widow. That came out last spring. And then Wrangling a Family came out, I think, in December or January. I'm not sure. And so those were the first three books in the Aspen Creek Bachelor series. And right now I'm working on book four. It says I have a two more books that I'm going to write in the series after that. So that's what I'm writing now.
Well, can you share with everyone like where we can keep up with you online, plug like your newsletter, everything?
Okay, well, you can find me at KathyDouglasBooks.com. It's Douglas with two S's, books.com. And you can sign up for my newsletter there. And I also have like my book list there too. So you can find like either all of my books, or if you're looking for like a specific series, it's broken out by series two. That's really where I'm most, probably my newsletter is the most active. I am on Facebook some, not a whole lot. Instagram some, probably because I'm doing it less now because I like have deadlines. And so I've been focusing more on writing than probably anything else. So that's the best way is my website.
All righty. Well, I'll make sure I leave it linked down below. And thank you so much for chatting with me today. I cannot wait to share this with everyone. And I can't wait for the books.
I can't wait for you to read them. I'm really excited. I have to say that I get excited when the book starts to come together. And now I'm on my second draft. So it's like, yeah, this is a book in here.